Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Anyone who attains a human body but does not take to the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is baffled in his opportunity. Amruta Dhuni is a flowing river of nectar of devotional service. If after getting a human body, one drinks the water in a poison pit of material happiness instead of the water of such a river, it would be better for him not to have lived, but to have died long ago. Purport. In this connection, Srimad Prabodhananda Saraswati has composed the following verses in his Chaitanya Chandramrita. Achaitanyam idam vishvam yadi chaitanyam ishvaram naviduhu sarva shastrajna yapi brahmyanti tejana. This material world is without Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna consciousness personified. Therefore, if a very learned scholar or scientist does not understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly he is wandering uselessly in this world. Prasarita Mahaprema Piyusharasa Sagare Chaitanya Chandre Prakate Yodino Dinae Vasa. A person who does not take advantage of nectar of devotional service overflowing during the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult is certainly the poorest of the poor. Avtirne Gaurachandre Vistirne Prema Sagare Suprakashita Ratnauge Yodino Dina Evasa. The advent of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just like an expanding ocean of nectar. One who does not collect the valuable jewels within this ocean is certainly the poorest of the poor. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam 2:319:23 states, bile batoru krama vikramam ye na shrunvata karna pute narasya jivhasati darurike vasuta na chopagayati urugaya gatha jivanchavo bhagavatangri renum na jatu martyo bilabheta yaste tu shri vishnupadya manujastulasya Swasanchavo yastuna veda gandham. A person who has no connection with Krishna consciousness may be a very great personality in so-called human society, but actually he is no better than a great animal. Such big animals are generally praised by other animals like dogs, hogs, camels and asses. A person who does not land his oral reception to hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered to have ear holes like holes in a field. Although that person has a tongue, it is like the tongue of a frog, which unnecessarily creates a disturbance by croaking, inviting the snake of death. Similarly, a person who neither takes advantage of the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, no smells the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, must be considered dead, even though he is supposedly working. Similarly, the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 4 states, Nivritta tarsair upagiya manad bhavaushadhachrota manobhiramat ka uttamashloka gunanuvadat Puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Who but the animal killer or the killer of the soul will not care to hear glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Such glorification is enjoyed by persons liberated from the contamination of this material world. Similarly, in the third canto, chapter 23, verse 56, the Bhagavatam says, Na tirtha pada sevyai jivan api mruto hisa. Although a person is apparently living, he does not serve the lotus feet of great devotees. If he does not serve the lotus feet of great devotees, he is to be considered a dead body. Om Adnanta Mirandasya Snananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, it's a wonderful occasion today of Gita Jayanti, and this is a very beautiful verse which comes almost at the end of this chapter. After a series of glorification of Mahaprabhu and description of his birth, towards the end we have this verse which says, Paya Manushya Janma. When one has attained this human form of life, now it's an attainment. The first word itself is paya, having attained somehow through so many millennia of rotating in different bodies. Jena shune gaura guna. One who is not interested to hear about the qualities and the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Heno janma tara vyartha hila. Vyartha means useless. His birth is to be considered useless. Paya amruta dhuni. It is just like one who has somehow stumbled upon a well, or maybe a lake, or maybe an ocean of amrita, of nectar. And leaving aside the amrita, he drinks poisoned water. How foolish is such a person? How pitiful is the situation of such a person? Piye bisho gartha pani. He is drinking bisho. He is drinking poison. So, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, in his transcendental anger, he says, such a person, janmi ashe kene nahi mailo. Melo means dead. He better die rather than live. Because for him, living is as good as death. There is no difference between his living and his dying. And then Srila Prabhupada in the purport has given many wonderful quotes from Prabodhananda Saraswati as well as from Srimad Bhagavatam. Several different verses have been quoted to emphasize the importance of human form of life. So, the first question that comes to mind is how important is, or how rare is the human form of life? How rare? Any thoughts? How rare is the human form of life?
Very rare.
Very rare. Mm-hmm. There's lots of bacteria. Very few human beings. Yeah. True. So if human life is so rare, what happens to the animal kingdom when the animals gradually evolve, not the Darwinian evolution, but when the animals evolve, they ultimately pass through different bodies, 8.4 million species, and attain the human form. So what is so special about the human form? Isn't the body of the demigods, the devatas, much superior to the human body? Sorry? They were human. Devatas are classed as a separate category, not as humans. They have certainly got humanly frailties and faults, but they are on a different plane. Yes, Prabhu? Yes, they have the enjoying spirit, and in fact they have means of enjoyment which are unparalleled. In fact, it is said that an ordinary dancing girl in the court of Indra is much more beautiful than the most beautiful human being on this planet. And the comparison is given in Srimad Bhagavatam that the most beautiful person, man or woman, on this earth planet looks no more beautiful than a female horse in Indraloka. So, you know, incredible physical attractiveness. However, they miss the opportunity to serve the Lord. When one is too elated, too happy, one forgets the realities of life. That's what drugs do to people. It makes you artificially high. Only when you come crashing down, you realize. But imagine if you don't come crashing down, then you'll forget your miseries. So they apparently forget their miseries. Indra is reminded of his misery once in a while when some great soul like Prithu Maharaj performs, you know, Ashwamedha Yajna. And once the person's done the 99th Ashwamedha, Indra becomes worried. But the demigods, they pray in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see in the third canto, the demigods pray, may we get human birth. Demigods want to get human birth so that they can experience the pastimes of the Lord. So what about the residents of Vaikuntha? Are they superior to us, as in the humans? Yes, no, don't know. It's only one of the three answers. Yes, they're not. Yes and no. Why yes and no? Yes. Govind Prabhu is correct. So when Krishna comes to this planet, his beautiful 200 form is much superior to the 400 form that is experienced by the residents of Vaikuntha. And as a result of that, it is said in the third canto, in one of the commentaries, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, even the residents of Vaikuntha desire to come down to the earth to experience the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And that experience can only be had in the human form of life. So human form of life is certainly a form of opportunity, a form in which one receives the opportunity to grow to the next level of one's spiritual evolution. And that opportunity is wasted if one does not understand the goal. So, as it is said in this verse, and as Srila Prabhupada has quoted a few verses. There is a verse which Srila Prabhupada quotes 2.3.18 and 2.3.19. There's a verse which occurs even before that, 2.3.17 in Srimad Bhagavatam, where generally we think that, you know, our lives are comfortable. And even when our lives are comfortable, there is actually a thief who comes and steals all our vital energy and the very spirit of life every single day. Who is that thief? Death? Time? So the rishis of Naimisharanya, they are telling Sutta, Ayur harati cha vai pumsam udyanastam chayan asau. This personality who is a great thief, he appears every day. Udyan, he rises. Astam, he sets. And with every rising and setting, this thief is stealing away your opportunity. Your days are being numbered. Who is that? The sun. But tasya rite yat shano nita uttama shloka vartaya. For that personality, for that human being who is spending his time in uttama shloka varta, who is constantly remembering the Supreme, discussing about the Supreme, chanting the glories of the Supreme, those moments can never be stolen away by this thief. So actually, the only life that one has lived is the life that constitutes the moments that one has spent in remembrance of the Lord. All other moments have not been lived. They've simply been stolen away. There's a beautiful story in the Vishnu Purana. Markandeya Rishi, who is apparently lived for 7 kalpas. We understand what 1 kalpa is? Trillions of years. He's lived for 7 kalpas. There is once a gathering of rishis at the banks of the Ganga. And these rishis have gathered there to find out who is best amongst all of them. And hosting that conference of rishis is Vasishtha, who is an old, wise rishi. And on his lap is his grandson, whose name is Parashara. Parashara is the father of Vyasadev. Parashara is sitting on the lap of Vasishtha. Why? Because Parashara's father, Shakti Rishi, was devoured by a demon. That's another pastime. But because his father wasn't there, he was raised by his grandfather. So Vasishtha and Parashara is on his lap. And at that very moment, Markandeya appears on the scene. All the rishis, thousands of them, rise in respect. And they bring him to the forefront and they ask him, "My dear Markandeya, only you can resolve our doubt. Who is the greatest amongst all the rishis? And we think it is you, because you are the oldest, the wisest." And Markandeya, whose age is 7 kalpas, he's 7 kalpa old, he points in the crowd at Vasishtha and then points his finger at that little boy who's 7 years old, Parashara, and asks him to come forward. Parashara walks up to Markandeya and Markandeya asks him, "How old are you?" And Parashara laughs and says, In fact, Markandeya says, how old are you, O oldest amongst all of us? And Parashara laughs and says, you certainly know the art of cracking jokes. You who are 7 kalpa old is asking me, who is 7 years old, how old I am, and calling me the oldest. And Markandeya declares to all the rishis, actually, I am 7 kalpas old, but this boy, in fact the verse says, he is Prakrita Vaishnava. He is Vaishnava from every cell of his body, every breath of his life. He is spent simply in the remembrance of the Lord. And then Markandeya gives definition of life. He says, life span of a person should be calculated in this manner. One should add all the moments one has spent in remembrance of Sri Hari. And one must take a total of all the other moments that have been spent without the remembrance of Sri Hari. And it is only those moments that one has spent in remembrance of Sri Hari are the actual days or hours or minutes of life one has lived. And so Parashara, although he's 7 years old, his every moment has been spent in remembrance of the Lord, and he is the oldest. So this is the value of human form of life. Srila Prabhupada quotes, and we think, living, if you ask an ordinary person, what's the value of human life? What constitutes success? They would say, well, longevity, being able to live a long, happy life. In fact, in the Vedic times, they used to give a blessing, Ayushman Bhava. May you live long. And the verse says, but taravaha kimna jivanti. It cuts through that concept of longevity by saying, but even trees live for long. If longevity is success of human life, and Prabhupada has quoted this verse in the purport, even trees live long. In the forests of California, the giant sequoia lives for 5,000 years. Much longer than we can live. But somebody might say, well, it's not just living, but it's living healthy life. Living a life of health. And what does one's health depend on? According to Ayurveda and the traditional science of yoga, Hatha yoga especially, it is the inhaling and the exhaling of the breath. It's the inhaling and exhaling of the breath that determines one's health. So the rishis, they say, if you think health is the goal of human life, having a healthy life, vastraha kimna swasantyutha, swasanti, breathe. Inhale and exhale. Vastraha. Vastra means the bellows of a blacksmith. Have you seen a bellow? In the olden days, they used to, you got a furnace and there's fire on the furnace, and if the fire's becoming a little weak, you blow some air. And the way you blow the air is you've got a bellow, which is like a little air pump. And you squeeze it like this. And as you squeeze it, the air gets sucked in, and it actually makes the sound. So the verse says, even the bellow breathes. And it breathes quite regularly. Your lungs cannot absorb all the air you breathe, but the bellow sucks in all the air. So even the bellow is better than somebody who can breathe. And one might say, well, but it's not just breathing and being able to live a long life, but to be merry, to be happy, to be able to feast, and to be able to have a wonderful family and friend. So the rishis say, na khadanti na mehanti kim grame pashavo pare. Even the grama pashu, even the feral animals, like the cats and the dogs and the foxes in London, even they, kim na khadanti, do they not eat? They are happier because they don't work as hard as humans just for a meal. Kim na mehanti, do they not have children? Oh, with human society, there are boundaries. You cannot just be, you know, go beyond the boundaries. There's the boundaries of marriage and boundaries of society and boundaries of law. If you do things illegally, you could be behind bars. But in an animal, grama pashu's life, there are no boundaries. So they're actually happier. So in this way, the verse goes. Now I'm going to... I had a few more verses to speak about, but I'm going to skip that to go straight to the question. So what is indeed the purpose of human life? Srila Prabhupada had a wonderful program in Reading, and straight from there, as he was coming back to the Bhaktivedanta Manor, he asked his personal servant, let's visit George. So they went to see George Harrison. George Harrison wasn't around. Dhananjay Prabhu relates this pastime. George Harrison wasn't around and he came late in the evening. Srila Prabhupada waited patiently as George came, and George presented his new song, that Where Are You, Krishna, was the song that he had composed. He presented that to Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada said, as the sun was setting and the light was becoming dim, Srila Prabhupada said, the purpose of human life, and I'd like to read, the purpose of the human form of life is to leave this world of darkness and go back to the world of light. I like this very much. It's a one sentence. In fact, there is a Vedic injunction. Tamaso ma jyotirgama. Leave darkness. Go to light. Srila Prabhupada says this is the purpose of human life. If one revolves in tamas, then the purpose has not been solved. And in fact, as I was thinking about this verse last evening, I was thinking about how Srimad Bhagavad Gita was, you know, came into being. Today is Mokshada Ekadashi, the advent of Bhagavad Gita. And one thread that is continuously being woven through the Bhagavad Gita is the thread that tells us about the purpose of human life. So I dug into my old notes, some which are taken almost 19 years ago, because I generally try and date them. And as I was dusting away, I just chanced upon this piece of paper where many years ago I had almost extracted the most significant verses that are commented by almost all the Vaishnava acharyas of all the sampradayas. And These are only 18 verses, and it's one from each chapter. And it actually summarizes the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita, of the human form of life, why it was spoken. So I thought I would share those with you. And in these 18 verses lies the mystery that needs to be unlocked if one needs to understand the purpose of human life. The life which is worth living. Should we do that? So the first verse is chapter 1, verse 30 in the Bhagavad Gita. The chapter is titled Sainya Darshan, Observing the Armies. Now, very interesting, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the family and friend circle of a human being is called or is referred to as Sena, as one's army, but is referred to as Asat Sena, is an army which is bound to perish. Why is it an army? Because a person automatically turns to them. When one is in difficulty, one turns to family and friends, as if they can protect him or her. And hence, the family and friends are considered to be like Sena. And Sainya Darshan, when Arjuna is looking or observing the armies, he is going through these three dilemmas that are typical of every single human being. Verse number 30, first chapter, says, Nacha shaknomi avasthatum. I'm unable to stand, Krishna. This instability is found in every single human being, unable to be firm. Brahmativa cha me manaha. My mind is going in circles. Brahmati, going round in circles. Confusion. Why is there confusion? Because there is indecisiveness. Why is there indecisiveness? Because one is attached to the result. So, if somebody comes and asks you, choose one hand, left or right, there's no context to it. There is no expectation, there is no attachment. If I ask you, Prabhu, choose which hand, left or right, you just pick one. But if I say, imagine somebody is, you know, captured by some terrorist and says, choose one hand, left or right. One hand says, die. Another says, leave. Leave means you'll be left. Choose one hand. Will you then make that decision immediately? You'll probably just not be able to make a decision at all. Because you think, well, I'm attached to my life and my choice is going to... So when there is attachment, or same, somebody says, choose one hand, you get £1,000,000 or you lose £100. You'd still think very hard. So indecisiveness is only due to attachment. A person who works without attachment cannot be indecisive. So here, Brahmativa, he's full of confusion. Avasthatum, he has instability. Nimittani cha pashyanti, pashyami. Nimittani cha pashyami, viparitani Keshava. O Keshava, I'm only seeing bad omens. I'm only seeing risks. So a human, an ordinary human being, is exhibiting this all the time. He is instable. He's confused and he is fearful throughout. And Krishna starts off the process. Chapter 2, verse number 2. The chapter is titled Sankhya Yoga. Sankhya Yoga means the first step in spirituality, the first step towards self-discovery is to reason things out. Use your head, Arjuna. And in fact, he says, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, your thinking and your instability, your feeling confused, where will this lead you? Think. He's making him think, and that's why the chapter is titled Sankhya Yoga. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kutastva Kashmalam Idam, Kashmalam Idam, Kashmalam. Where has this miserable situation, how has it gotten into you? Vishame samupasthitam. Especially at the time of this trouble. Anarya jushtam. Krishna says three things. A person who does not know the goal of life, as this verse says. His life is anarya jushtam. Aswargyam, akirti karam Arjuna. Three things. Anarya jushtam. The person's life is not progressive. Anarya means not progressive. Arya, Srila Prabhupada translates Arya or Aryans. Or Aryans, as you know, the English say Aryans. The Aryans are a lot who are progressive. Spiritually progressive, not materially progressive, spiritually progressive. And Krishna calls Arjuna Anarya Jushtam. This is not spiritually progressive. This is not progressive thinking. So a person who does not know the goal of life, he does not think progressive. Anarya Jushtam, Aswargyam, it does not lead him to a superior destination. Akirti karam Arjuna, and akirti karam, it brings infamy. So the science of self-discovery, the science of the soul, is spoken of in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And then in the third chapter, Krishna speaks. Third chapter is titled, what was the title of the third chapter? Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the art of action. How do you act? And the most significant verse there, chapter 3 verse 30, is Mai Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Adhyatma Chetasa. Apply all your activities to me. Act for me. Act thinking about me. And whatever results you get from your actions, give those results to me. Nirashir Nirmama Bhutva. Two qualities are required when one does action. Nirashihi, not to expect anything. When a person acts, it's natural to expect. So the art of action is to act but not expect. Not expect the good or the bad or the ugly, nothing. Not to expect, but to act out of duty. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva nirmama. And if you get the results, don't think these results apply and attach to me. Nirmama, not to me. Not attached, I have got nothing to do with them. Yudhyasva. And fight, Arjuna, vigata jvara. Give up your feverish condition. Jvara means fever. He literally calls Arjuna sick. In this verse, Krishna says, give up your sickness. You've been sick. Act through selfless duty. This is the third chapter. Karma Yoga. The fourth chapter, Jnana Yoga, is talking about knowledge. It talks about knowers. There are many knowers. And as many knowers there are, so many paths there exist. So, which path should one accept? Jnana Yoga, the fourth chapter, talks about various paths on the path of spirituality. Which is the highest path to follow? In fact, Krishna says, everyone follows my path because I am the ultimate goal for everyone. Even those who apparently do not worship me directly, indirectly worship me. However, there is one fast lane, a highway, and then there is different alleyways. In Sanskrit, they call Rajamarga and Pathya. Pathya means ordinary roads, streets. So one can walk on the streets and reach the capital of the kingdom, or one can use the Rajmarg. Rajmarg cuts through the forest, cuts through all the chase, and goes directly to the palace. Rajmarg means the royal road. So what is the royal road? And in Jnana Yoga, chapter 4, verse number 9, Krishna says, that knowledge, that path, that gives you, that raises your understanding to the level that janma karma cha me divyam, my birth, my activity are not ordinary. I am not an ordinary person. Evam yo veti tatvatah. When one knows this in truth, what is knowing in truth? Tatvatah. When one knows it without a shred of a doubt. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Tyaktva deham. When that person leaves his body, punar janma naiti, he does not come back again. One who knows the secret of my birth and activity. So that path of devotional service is the fast lane. In the fifth chapter, which is titled Karma Sanyasya Yoga, which means giving up of karma. In that chapter, Arjuna starts out by saying, Krishna, you've said one should perform yoga and one should be detached, but you've also said one should be acting. So how can one act and also be detached? It does not make sense. Because as soon as one acts, one comes in contact with things. So how can a person be detached? So karma sannyasa yoga, Krishna says, yes, you can come in contact, but not be touched. I don't follow, Krishna. You can come in contact with something, but not be touched by it? Krishna says, yes, become my devotee, a lotus-like devotee. And this is, in fact, many acharyas say, the first instance where, and the most important instance where a devotee is compared to a lotus. So the fifth chapter, karma sannyasya, act without attachment. If you act without attachment, you are not bound to get the results. If you learn in the news this morning, the BBC says, well, there's been a run on the banks, and RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland, and Halifax, and HSBC have been ruined. Their investors are crying, and millions of pounds have been lost. You still go about doing your work. But imagine you've come to the temple and you've got a wallet or a purse for the ladies which had a mere 500 pounds. And when you reach home, you realize your wallet isn't there. and it brings so much misery. Why? Is it the loss of money that is bringing misery? It's actually the attachment that it is mine that is bringing the misery. The run on the banks, the millions of pounds lost, you still having your wonderful morning meal, it does not bother you. But your mere 500 pounds, a banker would say, bothers you because attachment. So, Krishna says in this verse, a beautiful verse, listen carefully. He says, Brahmani adhaya karmani. Once you have surrendered all your work to Krishna, Sangam tyaktva karotiya. Sangam tyaktva. Sangam is attachment. Give up your attachment. Don't just give up your work. Krishna, I'll do everything for you, as long as I get benefit too. No. Sangam tyaktva karoti yaha lipyate nasa papena. Such a person is not attached, is not touched by papa. How? Padma patram ivam bhasa. Padma patram. He gives this analogy, Krishna. He says, just like a lotus, although in muck, a lotus grows in muck, in mud, it still does not get touched by it. Even a water droplet does not last on the petals of a lotus, is untouched. Be like a lotus. Be untouched. And then Krishna tells him, now that you're budding in your spirituality as a lotus, make your connection to the Supreme. Now that you're giving all your works to the Supreme, make your connection with the Supreme. How do you connect with the Supreme? There are two things Krishna says that are needed to connect to Him. And these two are very dear possessions of a devotee. Number one is faith. Never lose faith in Krishna, in the Vaishnavas, in the Guru, and in the process of bhakti. Never do anything that takes your faith away from bhakti. Never trust a bank, an astrologer, even a doctor, or anyone for that matter. If your trust in that person or that thing is going to exceed your faith in Krishna. Oh, now I'm visiting this gemologist who recommends gems, and as soon as I put on these gems, all my life's miseries will be gone. And now everything I do, I will consult the gemologist. Well, today is Ekadashi, should I fast or not? Let me consult the gemologist. Well, you've gone too far, my brother, because your faith has been distributed. You've divided your faith and imposed it in the gemologist. So don't distribute your faith. So Krishna says in Dhyana Yoga, in your fixed mind, there are many yogis who meditate on Paramatma, but who is the greatest? Who is the most connected? Yoga means connection. And who is the most connected? Krishna says, chapter 6, verse 47, he says, Yoginam api sarvesham, amongst all the yogis, madgatena antaratmana, shraddhavan bhajate yomam, one who with full faith worships me, surrenders to me, same yukta tamo matah, yukta tamah. So there is comparative degree and superlative degree. Yukta means connected, one who is connected. Yukta tara is one who is connected more. It is comparative. But yukta tama means one who is most connected, superlative degree. So one who is most connected to me, one who worships me with faith and who serves me. Shraddhavan bhajate yo mam. This is the summary of the sixth chapter where Krishna says, you connect with me in faith and service. The seventh chapter, should I continue? I still have time. Should I continue? Okay. Seventh chapter is titled Jnana Vijnana Yoga. Jnana Vijnana is knowledge and realization. You see, when one is connected to the Supreme and one constantly keeps connected with the Supreme, it's a daily affair. Connection is not a one-time thing. It's a daily affair. It's a moment-by-moment affair. Every moment, one should seek to connect to the Supreme. And Krishna says that when one has lived those moments of connection with the Supreme, one's knowledge becomes real. One's knowledge becomes real. When one's knowledge becomes real, that is realization. Realization. And jnana, vijnana, and that process takes many, many births. Many, many lifetimes. So chapter 7, verse 19, he says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. After many, many births, jnanavan, one who has really practiced that connection. You know, in anything that has connection, the electricity, you see, the lights are on because there is connection. Actually, it's not just that the switch is on and it's connected. The electrons are continuously flowing. If you are connected on the Wi-Fi, the data is continuously flowing. Its connection is continuity. Discontinuity is disconnection. So when one performs bhakti, connects continuously with Krishna, only then, after many births, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudevah sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabah. And this soul that has evolved after all this distillation, he is not an ordinary soul that can be found. Labha means something that can be found. Durlabha means something that is difficult to be found. Sudurlabha means something that is very difficult to be found. So Krishna uses two prepositions for this person. Sa mahatma sudurlabha. He uses double emphasis, sudurlabha. It's very difficult to rise to that level. But one can through continuous abhyas. Abhyasa yogena. By continuously maintaining that connection. Chapter 8 is Taraka Brahma Yoga. Taraka Brahma means, Taraka means the rescuer. Brahman or the Supreme Lord is the rescuer. And one feels rescued only if one has remembered the Lord all throughout the life, and at the end of the life, the Lord Himself comes and takes you with Him. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse number 5 says, Antakale cha mameva. At the end of your life. In fact, Sripad Shankaracharya, the great monist who is non-different from Lord Shiva, in the commentary to this verse, he has emphasized the word cha. Cha means and. Antakale means at the time of death. Cha means and. So the verse actually says, and at the time of death. Antakale cha mam eva Smaran muktva kalevaram. One who gives up his body, thinking of me, and at the time of death. Yaha prayati samadbhavam. He attains love for me. He attains my abode. Yati nastyatra samshayaha. There is no doubt. But Shankaracharya says, antakale cha, and at the time of death. Why is Krishna saying and? Because Shankaracharya says, what Krishna really means is, you have followed the process of bhakti and remembrance of me throughout your life and at the time of death. It will not happen otherwise. When death comes, as Srila Prabhupada says, a parrot can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A parrot is chanting. But Srila Prabhupada says, but when a cat comes and pounces, what does he do? Quack, 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 quack. Chanting is gone. In fact, a parrot cannot even make offensive chanting, right? Because he doesn't know the 10 offenses. But still, his chanting, Prabhupada gives this example. He says, antakale cha, mam cha, antakale cha. So Krishna says, in Taraka Brahma Yoga, I will come and rescue you if you continuously remember me and at the time of death. In chapter 9, I need to be quick. In chapter 9, Rajguhya Yoga. Rajguhya, the great secret. What is the great secret? The great secret is this. What is the great secret of bhakti? Of the path of devotional service? Chapter 9, verse 13, the great secret is revealed. In fact, this is a very important verse. Mahatmanas tumam partha. The great personalities exhibit this great secret. What is the great secret? Daivim prakritim ashrita. They take shelter of my spiritual energy. Daivim prakriti also means Srimati Radharani. It also means the path of devotional service. It also means the Vaishnavas. Guru and Gauranga. It is what this verse says. Yena shune gaura guna. So, the secret is to take shelter of the path of devotional service of Srimati Radharani. Bhajanti ananya manaso. And how does one worship Krishna? How does one remember Krishna? Ananya manaso. Through consciousness, a mind which is ananya. In fact, in the, as Srila Prabhupada would say, in the Christian Bible, in the Bible, it is said, Jesus tells his disciples, you cannot serve two masters. It's either the Lord or it is the material energy. And this verse says the exact same thing. Ananya. Anya means other. Ananya means not other. Your worship of Krishna is wholehearted. This is the great secret. So ananya bhakti, kevala bhakti, simply pure devotional service is the secret sauce. Not mixed devotional service, but pure devotional service. Daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam. Knowing me as the Lord, one who serves me ananya manaso. And then, one who worships him with this wholeheartedness, not splitting one's heart and serving several things. Oh, well, I'm a devotee, but I'm also a golfer. Well, there is only one identity. You are a devotee, even on the golf course. But if there are multiple identities that we have, then that is not ananya, that is not guhya, that is not the secret that Krishna is revealing. So the 10th chapter is Vibhuti Yoga, description of the divine glories of the Lord. And in fact, one who sees him as a source of everything. Actually, Krishna is giving this description to Arjuna to bring him to the point that you should see everything that you see around you in your perception through all your five senses should bring your intelligence to the realization that everything comes from me. Chapter 10, verse number 8. In fact, this is the first verse of the Chatushloki Gita, the four verse Gita, the compact Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, I am the source of everything. Matta sarvam pravartate, everything comes from me. Iti matva bhajante mam, budha bhava samanvita. One who is truly budha, one who is truly intelligent, will come to this realization of seeing me everywhere. Chapter 11, Krishna shows Arjuna his Vishwarupa, Vishwarupa Darshan Yoga, the vision of his Supreme Being. And after showing him his universal form, what does Arjuna do? He says, my Lord, please show me the original form that you were in, the two-handed form. Your Vishwarupa is very scary. I don't want to see that. I want to see the two-handed form. And when Krishna comes back to the two-handed form, Krishna says, Arjuna, this two-handed form is my original form. In fact, it cannot be seen by anyone except my Ananya Bhakta, the Bhaktas that he described in the 9th chapter. Chapter 11, verse 54, he says, Bhaktyatu Ananyaya Shakya, only through this Ananya Bhakti is it possible, Aham Evam Vidorjuna, for you to see me as I am right now in my 200 form. Natum Drashtum Chatatvena, because you are a devotee, you can see me, you can know me. And the last line is very beautiful. It says, Praveshtum Cha Parantapa, and you will be able to enter into my leela, into my pastimes. You can enact, you can be part of my pastimes. Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments on this verse. In chapter 12, he emphasizes Bhakti Yoga, the path of nectar. Again in this verse, we see that Paiya Amruta Dhuni, Amrita Dhuni, the ocean of Amrita, Piye Bisha Gurtapani. One has attained this Amrita ocean. What is this Amrita ocean? Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, verse 20, Bhakti Yoga. Yetu Dharma Amritam Idam Dharma Amritam. One who follows this path of nectar, Yathoktam Paryupasate, as I have described it, Shraddhadhana Matparama, he will attain my supreme position, Bhaktaste Ativa Me Priyah. Such a devotee is most dear to me. So he is raising Arjuna's level of consciousness by telling him who is the most dear even amongst devotees. It is he who is constantly bathing in this Amrita Dhuni, Dharma Amritam Idam. Chapter 13 is Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga. As you tread on this path, Arjuna, constantly distinguish between spirit and matter. Prakriti and Purusha. Viveka means to distinguish. Chapter 13 is Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga. Verse 24, chapter 13. Ya evam vetti purusham prakritim cha gunai saha. One who constantly understands what is spirit and what is matter. सर्वथा वर्तमानोपि न स भूयो भिजायते. He will never come back. Otherwise, even a devotee, if he loses his distinction between what is spirit and what is matter, has a chance of falling down, of drifting away. Chapter 14 is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, where Krishna says that the three modes of nature affect everything you do. What you eat, what you do, everything is connected with the three modes. But you need to transcend these three modes. And the only way you transcend these modes is if you act unwavering, without wavering, being fixed on bhakti. Chapter 14, verse 26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena, avyabhicharena. Avyabhichar means without wavering, being fixed. Bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. You will transcend the modes and you will attain me. And in chapter 15, Krishna talks about himself by describing Purushottama Yoga. Know me as the Supreme Person. Yo mam evam asammudho. One who is no longer fool, asammudha. One who is no longer a fool. Janati Purushottamam. He knows me as the Supreme Person. Sasarvavid bhajati mam. Knowing me as the Supreme Person, he worships me. Sarva bhavena bharata. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, at this point Krishna says, sarva bhavena bharata. A person who knows me as a supreme person, because he understands me as a person, develops personal relationship with me and acts in the five kinds of relationship that are possible with the supreme. Chapter 16, Daivasura Sampad Vibhaga Yoga. In chapter 16, Krishna says, always guard yourself against the three enemies, the three doors to hell. What are the three doors to hell? Lust, anger and greed. And he says, as long as you guard yourself against these three, you are guaranteed to have the supreme destination. Chapter 16, verse 22. Etair vimukta kaunteya tamodvarai stribhir naraha. One who is free from these three doors of hell, acharati atmanashreyas, he is actually doing good to his own soul. Such beautiful words. Krishna says, acharati atmanashreyas. He is doing his own good. He is doing good to his own soul. Tato yati param gatim. And at the end, he will attain the highest destination. Chapter 17 is Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Three divisions of faith. Here, Krishna says, never lose faith. And never do anything without faith. If you perform chanting, which is sacrifice, if you do preaching, which is giving, the best form of giving, if you do any austerities on the path of devotion, do it with full heart. Performing spirituality without heart has no effect, Krishna says. He says, Ashraddhaya, chapter 17, verse 28. Ashraddhaya hutam dattam. Any sacrifice, chanting, for example, performed. Dattam, preaching, book distribution. Tapas, any austerity performed. Tapas taptam krutam chayat. Asad iti uchyate partha. I consider it to be asat. Simply a show. Fake, useless. Nachatat pretyano iha. Such kind of activity would not help you in this world or in the next world. So beware. Do not lose your faith. Put your heart into what you do. And the final chapter, chapter 18, Krishna says, Moksha Yoga, the path of liberation, chapter 18, verse 66. This is a summary of the 18th chapter. Sarvadharman parityajya. Give up all kinds of mental conceptions, all your fears, all your doubts. Sarvadharman parityajya. Mam ekam sharanam vraja. And surrender to me alone. This is true sharanagati. And if you do that, if you are able to come to that level, it's not easy. Krishna says, here is my promise. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Anything that comes as a hindrance, any papa, any sinful reactions that you might have incurred because of any of your previous activity. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Mokshayishyami. I will liberate you from those. Do not doubt. Ma shuchaha. With this, Krishna pauses. And Krishna tells Arjuna, I have given you the purpose of your life. I have explained you the Amrita Dhuni. Now you have a choice whether you want to have the Amrita Dhuni or the Vishagartha Pani. So what does Krishna say? After explaining the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yadechasi, yathechasi, tatha kuru. Yatha ichasi. Now Krishna, now Arjuna, do as you wish. Even after explaining the Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Prabhupada explains, what is Srila Prabhupada's favorite bhajan? Anyone knows? Huh? Yes. In London, Yamuna Mataji asked Prabhupada, what was your favorite bhajan, Prabhupada? And Srila Prabhupada said, it was in 1969, I think, in his Bari place. And Srila Prabhupada said, Hari Hari Bipale, Hari Hari Janama Gunainu, Hari Hari Bipale Janama Gunainu. This is a bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur is the personification of the spirit of all our acharyas. And he has sung this song, Hari Hari Bipale Janama Gunainu, Hari Hari, I have wasted my life. Hari Hari Bipale Janama Gunainu. Why? Radha Krishna no bhajiya. I did not worship Radha and Krishna. Janiya Shuniya Bishakhainu. Knowingly, hearing what is right and wrong, still, Bishakhainu, I drank poison knowingly. Such is my life. And Srila Prabhupada paused and he said, there is so much depth, isn't it, Yamuna? This is such a deep bhajan. This is my favorite bhajan, he said. And this bhajan is exactly this line here. Janiya shuniya bishakhainu. Knowingly, I had poison. Radha Krishna na bhajiya. This is same. Paiya amrita dhuni. Piye bishagartha pani. Same. Anyway, there is a lot more that can be spoken. But we must give respect to Krishna in the form of time. So we'll pause here. I unfortunately have no time for questions, which is, and I apologize for that. Thank you for bearing with me. And on this, in fact, Srila Prabhupada said once that if you hear even one verse of Bhagavad Gita, or in fact he said, wherever Bhagavad Gita is chanted, that place is Tirtha. Even one verse. And if we can meditate on these 18 verses, one from each chapter, on this day, we can certainly rise to perform the goal of our life, the goal of human life, which is the subject matter of this verse. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveda bhakta vrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.